Anybody else? Don't worry. I asked my wife, I said, do you have any 3x5 index cards? She said, no, Mia has some. Then I went in her office. She's got a couple. She's fully stocked. As you're writing those things down, I want to kind of give you a little bit of background of how I decided the direction I wanted to go this morning. In my own study, I've been spending a lot of time in the book of Job. And the reason I have been there so much is because I think that when you look at the wisdom literature that we are given in the Bible, you have Job, you have Proverbs, and you have Ecclesiastes. That's the wisdom literature that God gives. And each of those books is very unique and abstract from the idea of how God wants to present what is wisdom. And as I went through the book of Job, the more I got into Job, this was nothing to do with my sermon. It was just what I've been thinking about. I was brought to Ecclesiastes. That Job struggled so much with where he was after the losses that he endured, that he was blessed by God and then lost everything. And I don't know why, but the friends that he was surrounded by were not a lot of help to him at all. They're like, they sat with Job and they let him kind of process everything. And then they're like, dude, you know this is your fault, right? And then his wife, man, she was an encouraging individual, wasn't she? Curse God and die. But then I started thinking about how does that affect us today and how do we deal with this? And I was brought, and this morning, we're going to be in the book of Ecclesiastes. And this morning, we're going to talk about this and the kind of the setup. You're doing those lists. You're writing those things down that are important to you. We're going to come back to those in a few minutes. But the very beginning of the book of Ecclesiastes says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, the king in Jerusalem. Now, there's a lot of speculation. I believe this is Solomon who is speaking here as he writes this, and he's talking, being the son of David, being the king of basically of Israel and Judah. And he is the first king that is there. And I think that the wisdom that we see poured out here is seen because of the request he made of God. In 1 Kings chapter 3, where God basically tells him, you can have whatever you want. And he says, I just want wisdom. And God says, because you've asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you so much more. That he had everything in life that he could possibly want. And I believe as we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, he's expressing this idea of all the wisdom that he was given and all the things that he's went through and all the blessings that he had in life. He comes to some very unique conclusions about things. He starts off and he uses in the verse 2, he says, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And that word is so interesting when we read it. I think in the New International Version, it says meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless. And that word that he uses there is actually the Hebrew word havel. Okay, and this morning, some of you can see it, some of you can't. Can y'all see what's coming out of this thing?
It's a vapor.
It's vapor. Okay, it's a cool mist humidifier. And I know in the back it's harder to see. I could hold it up, but I don't know if it'll help a whole lot. But do you see it coming out of there? Okay, is this real?
Yes. Yeah.
It's not magic, right? It's real. If you come up here, I actually put some thieves in it. I think that may have been why Bill was sneezing during his song leading. Because I got thieves up here. It was all this purity. He just didn't know what to do with it. Okay? But if you come up here, you can smell it. And you can actually feel it if you put your hand in. But can you grab it? No. It keeps going away. Is it real? But you can never grasp it. And the interesting thing is we look at this in verse 2, when he uses this word havel, he's saying, havel. that you see it, you can feel it, you can experience it. It's right there, but then you grasp for it, it's gone. You can never control it. You can never hold on to it. And he says, Havel, Havel, says the preacher, Havel of Havels, everything's Havel. How many of you in your life right now feel like life is Havel? That it's there, that it's literal, that it's right in front of you, but you just can't seem to grasp it. How many of us go through lives trying to grasp for things and to hold on to things, but you can't get a hold of it? You can't control it. It just goes away. You see, that's what the preacher, that's what Solomon is trying to tell us. How often do we go through our lives and we experience things and we try to hold on to them, but in the moment they're gone? I remember, we talked about a while ago, we're doing Father Abraham next week. I may need oxygen when we're done, because the reality is life is fleeting. I don't know. But as I get older, I try to hold on to when I was 28, 29, 30. I try to do the things that I used to do when I was 28, 29, 30. But life is fleeting. And we can't hold on to it. Solomon, when he writes this book, when he writes these words, he's trying to let us understand something. In verses 12 through 18, he talks about wisdom. He says, wisdom is havel. That's fleeting. That it goes away. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, he says, pleasure is fleeting because it goes away. Chapter 2, 18 through 26, he says, work is havel. Bill, work is havel. Just so you know, work's havel. Chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, and chapter 4, 1 through 4, he says, justice is havel. Chapter 4, verses 13 through 16, he says, political power is havel. Chapter 5, verses 8 through 20, he says, wealth is havel. Chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, he says, planning and predicting things is havel. But then you get chapter 9, verses 1, 2, 3, he says, death is certain. Life is fleeting. Now I want you to get your cards back out. We're going to talk about these cards. And I want you to do something very interesting. As you wrote on those cards, as you put all these things that are important, that are things in your life that you hold on to that are special, how many of the things that we talked about are havel? Wisdom is havel. Pleasure is havel. Work is havel. Justice is havel. Power is havel. Wealth is havel. Death is coming in and is certain. I think this one right here probably affects me the most as I read through all these things, as I look at these things. We can't control when people live and when people die. If I was going through my list, the reality is it's right here. I would have to go through there, and I would have to start tearing pieces off of things that are havel, that I can't control, that I have no control over. And then as you go through your list, I'm sure many of you could say that's havel, and that's havel, and even that's havel. And that's havel, and that's havel. And that's havel. I like that one. I'm going to keep that one on there. This is havel. This is havel. This is havel. And how often when we go through our list, we go from a 3x5 card to this? Why? Because it's fleeting. The thing that we have to understand as we go through this, as we look at these different things, of these things that in reality are havel, that they go away. And many times we can't hold on to them anymore. And as Solomon writes this, and he talks about all these things that are havel, that are fleeting, that we can't grasp on, that we can't hold on to, life gets to look really hopeless. And there's nothing that we can look forward to. But see, Solomon sets us up in this trajectory to show us that there's things in our life that we're going to try to plant our flag in and say, this is where my hope is built. And they're all things that are physical and fleeting. But if you want to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. You see, Solomon doesn't leave us in a place where there's no more hope, where there's nothing to hold on to. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, starting in verse 9, and I, in many ways, when I read this, I don't believe he's just speaking to me, but he's speaking to me. He's speaking to every one of us. He says, "Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of your young manhood, and follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you judgment for all these things, all the havel that we've held on to, all the vanity, all the meaningless. You're going to be judged. So remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting." I feel that every day. And you guys say I'm young. I don't feel young at 45. Life is fleeting. We just got to address that. It's going to go away. Chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, 'I have no delight in them.' Before the sun, the light, the moon, the stars are darkened, and clouds return after the rain, in the day of which that moment the house will tremble, and the mighty men will stoop. The grinding ones will stand idle because they are few, and those who look thoroughly in windows grow dim. And the doors of the streets are shut up at the sound of the grinding mill is low, and one will rise at the sound of the bird, and the daughters of the song will sing softly." And what Solomon is telling us, he goes, I had to get old to figure these things out. So those of you who are young, listen to what Solomon has to tell you. Verse 5, "Furthermore, men are afraid of the high places and of terror on the road along the trees blossom, and the grasshoppers drag themselves along, and the caperberry is ineffective, for a man goes into his eternal home, where mourners go about in the street." You're going to die. It's coming. "Remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed and the pitcher of the well is shattered and the wheel of the cistern is crushed. Then the dust will return to the earth as it is in the Spirit of God, and the Spirit will return to God who gave it. Havel, havel, says the preacher. All is havel." So as we go through life, as we see all these things that are fleeting, they're going away, there is a purpose behind all these things. There's something for us to look forward to. Verse 9, "In addition to being a wise man, the preacher also taught the people knowledge. And he pondered, searched out, and arranged many proverbs. And the preacher sought to find delightful words to write, words of truth correctly." See, he wanted to write a good thing, a positive thing, something encouraging, something to lift you up. And you came to church this morning, and you're like, I want to be encouraged. But then he tore up that 3x5 note card, and I'm like, man, it's all vanity. It's all havel. "The words of the wise men are gourd, and masters of the collective are like a well-driven nail. They are given to the shepherd. But beyond this, my son, be warned. The writing of many books and endless and excessive devotion to the books is wearying to the body. All those things that are wearisome, that are vanity, that are havel. This is the conclusion that he comes to. The conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep his commands. All those things you have on your list, are they valuable? Are they important? Yeah, they are. But if you don't trust in God, they're useless and purposeful. There's no purpose in them. There's nothing to look forward to. If we don't have God, all those things are havel. We must know what God's word says, and we must apply it to every aspect of our lives. Verse 14, for God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether good or evil. Is this stuff important? What's important? Him. And if we don't put God at the center of everything that we do, our 3x5 note card will be torn up and thrown out because it is all vanity. Unless we put God first. And Matthew, Jesus is asked, what is the greatest commandment? What is the most important thing? And the question I have for you this morning is, what is the most important thing in your life? And Jesus says there's two great commands, isn't there? To love God and to love others. And if we don't make that center of our life, if we don't make that the most important thing, everything we'll do is like trying to grasp at something that is there, that we can see, that we can smell, but we can't control. Because if God is in control of us, everything will be in control. Because he will be the center of who we are. And as Ecclesiastes is written, he says, again and again, all these things that you grasp at, everything you try to control, everything you try to possess and hold on to is nothing if you don't have him as your priority. This morning, we have to ask ourselves, is God my priority? Because all this other stuff is useless and pointless if he isn't a part of it. He should be our driving force of who we are. The wisdom of Solomon brought him to a point where he had wives and he had money and he had power. And he says, there's no purpose in it if I don't have God. So this morning, you have to ask yourself that question. Is he in control of me? Is he my priority? Is he the one I trust? Is he the one I put my hope in? Is he the one who gives me the desire to have the love and the compassion for others? Because if he's not in control, we are out of control. That we have no purpose, that we have no drive. We've got to make God our priority, and he's got to guide our lives. People go through life years and years and years trying to find purpose in this life. This morning, are you one of those people that have went years and years and years and have not found your purpose? Because you will only find your purpose in God.